Oi, Footy Prime is lewd, lascivious, salacious and outrageous. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Here we go.
We are rolling. There we are. We're rolling now. Forgive me, my freaking dogs.
Your dags.
The cough. They're kicking off right now, as always, just as we start the freaking interview.
This is how professional we are, Kyle, just so you know.
Hey, it's a bonus edition. We have the man tied for Canada's all-time goal-scoring record, which we'll get to. We'll also get to that goal last week against Valladolid, where he harnessed his inner Zinedine Zidane. But I want to start our chat with Kyle Larin today, asking just why, with a life so full and so exciting, Kyle, why do you feel a need to start a podcast and take away from our listeners and our viewers? You know, like, you got it all, man. You're a professional footballer in Spain. Right, we have nothing. All we have is this podcast. And you start this Striker's Corner with Jonathan David, and it's really good, by the way.
Yeah.
Why, man? Why go down that route?
No, I think it was, I don't know. I just think it came about just me and Jonathan are quiet guys. We don't really speak, but we play together and we have a good relationship. And normally when you have two strikers in a team, we're competing for a spot, you know, but we were really good friends and off the pitch, on the pitch, and we're just quiet. And then I guess when the podcast, like, I don't know, we're comfortable sharing our insights on things and speaking about things. I think, I don't know, it just works for me and him, and he enjoys it. I enjoy it. And that's where we express ourselves. And a lot of people don't really get to, a lot of people don't know a lot about me or a lot about him. Obviously he's doing well and he's doing big things. So I guess it's a platform for me and him to express ourselves more.
Are you going to record one over this window at some point?
I don't think so.
Good. Yeah, exactly. Good.
You guys got it all this time.
do you find your chemistry in the in studio, but you know, in the room with the mics is similar as it is on the pitch, on the field, you know? Or are you playing off each other? Big man, little man, you're both pretty big actually. It doesn't really work that way. But you know what I'm saying? Is it similar?
Yeah, I think it's similar. I think it just works. And the more we do the podcast, the more it gets better. And same thing on the pitch. The more we play together, the more we get better. And I know where he's going to be on the pitch. And I guess he knows the right questions to ask. And we just feed off each other in the podcast. Because at some points, it's free-flowing. It's not like scripted. We just keep going. And I think it's the same thing on the pitch.
What's the best part about playing with him?
Yeah. The best part, like on the podcast, he's very smart, very smart player. He knows what to ask, knows what to do. Like same thing in the game. He knows where to be on the pitch, knows what positions to be, where to move in the open space. So I think that's the best thing, me playing with him. Where he needs to be, I will be right beside him on the pitch, and we're not in the same area, like crowding each other's space, you know. So it's good. Or if he scores, I score. Like we're happy for each other. It's not like like we're competing against each other. I know.
Well, I think he is. He's going to be catching you soon on that.
I know he was going to get there eventually. It's not.
I'm waiting for you to have a tussle with a penalty or something. You guys fighting for the ball.
To be honest, we don't fight. It depends on the moment. Sometimes, I mean, I took penalties before and he's taken some penalties. It's never been a fight to take a penalty.
Do you think you Canadians have a different kind of bond? You know, the European-based Canadians, Craig and Jimmy Brennan, our other podcaster, he's not on right now. They talk about it when they played in Europe, you know, a long time ago now. But how, you know, every now and again, they get together with their, you know, compatriots in Canada. any of that kind of connection. It's a little bit different. It's not a footballing nation per se just yet. So, you know, you're almost in a literally a foreign land, but playing almost a foreign sport.
Yeah, because I think I guess we know what on the outside in Europe, and we're Canadians there, and then not a lot of people. When we say we're going back to our national team, I mean, now it's better. When I used to play and I would say I'm going to my national team, they really didn't know who we were, or who we're playing. And it's a bit different now. So I think we always look after each other and the Canadian guys in Europe, and always follow each other and want each other to do well.
Has that changed? Then it's a good point, because I mean, without using the word insignificant, it's a bit unfair, you know, but for a long time, Canada felt insignificant on the world stage. And then suddenly you have that qualifying campaign. You qualify for the World Cup. And then, you know, Jesse comes in and you have this Copa America that no one saw coming. Maybe you guys did, but no one saw it coming. Do you notice there's a different outlook on you and Canadians around Europe now? You say you are from this country?
Yes, for sure. I think even going back to my club being another club, or the other guy saying to us, and a lot of countries want to play us because the quality we have, and we've been doing well, and you see different guys playing on big teams in Europe, and in League One, in Spain and Germany. So I think it's just growing. It's growing, and we're being noticed on the world stage, and the more we do better, the more we're noticed.
I was wondering, Kyle, the travel that you've been sustaining lately, coming back and forth for the international breaks, how are you getting over your jet lag? How do you approach that so that you're always kind of together on the pitch? Are you sleeping more? Do you how do you approach coming in? Because right now it's 11, 12 o'clock where you, what time is it? Like 7, 5, 6 hours difference, right?
Yeah, so it's almost 12.
Yeah. How do you approach it?
The first few days are difficult. I think the plane ride over is important to get to adjust, try to adjust then, and try to get some sleep on the plane. But for sure, the first few days are difficult. It's early. It's early nights. Probably like 8:30 p.m. Maybe before 8 o'clock.
Are you getting sleepy around 8? Should we tuck you in tonight? Craig, we'll send over our 6'6" forward goalkeeper to tuck you in.
the first 2 or 3 days are difficult, but coming back to Canada is a bit easier. I mean, but when you go back to Europe after a couple of days, 10 days, it's also hard to get back in the time zone over there. But no, 2-3 days you can adjust easy and just take care of your body. It's an important part to be able to play.
And you're not flying coach anymore, right? Like in the old days.
No.
With all the scum like myself, you know.
But wait a second. You see how Kyle said it, though? Because Craig was just talking to my daughter about flying to Australia coach. And when they're trying to qualify for the World Cup against Australia. And I doubt Kyle has to go through that anymore. Craig, you could retell that story fairly easily to Kyle, couldn't you?
Yeah. Took a sleeping pill, basically, and slept for 11 hours in a plucked up chicken position. I felt like about a dollar when I got to Australia. I had to peel myself out of my seat and play a game against Australia. Fucking hell.
Times have changed, right? Yeah, they take care of you now a little bit more, thankfully. So we had Alistair Johnston on the show last window, and actually it went viral because the Celtic Nation got hold of it, right? And I think we had like 40 or 50,000 views, which for us is quite a big deal, to say the very least. But he was talking about Canada, this new Canada, and how the phrase uses it, that the whole fuck it, we're Canada, and that kind of mindset change. How have you experienced that? Because during the World Cup qualification, the term brotherhood was used a lot, right? You guys came together, you were close. But it seems to evolve since then, even so under Jesse Marsh.
Yeah, I think Jesse's brought a lot to get. I think the talent we have and the individual talent, I think he's brought out another side where we're able to just go out there and say, fuck it, who like go out there and just perform and play well and bring the intensity and bring the best out of the guys. And I think you've been seeing that throughout these tournaments. And I think it, as a team, we've come together stronger and better. And you see it in the last few games from Copa America to Mexico and USA. And I think it's just getting better and better. And every time we step on that pitch, to be honest, we don't think we're underdogs when we play against any team now. So we go out there and we perform and want to become better each game.
And that confidence, Kyle, is that coming from all this string of very good results over the last few years to be able to play an aggressive, confident, let's go at them, test them no matter who it is?
No, I think it's because we know who we are, I think, and we know who we have, and it's not like the other team is miles better than us in talent-wise, I think, and physically-wise. I think we have we're right there with all the teams in the world, but I think we know what we have and know what we can do, and we play to our strengths, and you can see it in the games, and we create opportunities, we defend well, and I think it just will get better from here.
It seems that you're also warming up right now, personally. You know, you play, you know, well for Mallorca. You're getting good minutes there. That goal against Valladolid was just, I mean, if you can talk us through it, it was one of those goals we're going to see all year long. That touch, I mean, that is not something that, I mean, I'm sure even in training, it doesn't come off that often.
No. I think the next 2 days or something, the ball came like that in training and I missed that shit. It wasn't the same exact play, but the ball came over the top and it was like that, but I think I've just been working on my positioning in the game, and that and once I've been telling the players to just watch my movement, and once I saw my teammate look open up with the ball and turn, and I checked in and went behind the defense, and once I looked and I saw the keeper didn't come out to get the ball. Because at first I thought he was going to come and get it, and I took a quick peek, and once I saw he didn't come, and to be honest, I didn't think I can get it. I actually hurt my hamstring a bit when I stretched for the ball.
Keep that quiet.
If you watch, I was like, going to the doctor, said I think I overstretched, but it was okay after that. But to be honest, I watch it back, and I see the touch and the goal, and I think it's been just building off the last few games I've been playing, and I got an assist the game before that. I had a goal, offside goal. I don't know if it was offside. Right. I said my toe was offside, but no. But I think I was just—I was in a rhythm and I was feeling good. And then when you're playing well and feeling good, your qualities start coming out, and then your instinct starts taking over. And that touch was just an instinct. And I think it's the only way I could finish. If I let it bounce, then the keeper grabs it. So,
but yeah. Hey, yeah, Kyle, I was going to ask you about. You know, you played in the United States, you played in Belgium, you played in Turkey, you're in Spain. What do you find, what are the nuances between those leagues? What are the challenges you face in Spain that maybe you didn't face in Turkey or Belgium?
I think the quality of the players are from the first, from the top to the top, for the top 15 teams is quality everywhere. And very tactical, very smart guys playing on the pitch. I mean, sometimes they don't look like they're football players, but their feet are very good. They move the ball and very smart players. I think that's a big difference that I've noticed playing in the La Liga.
What is life like in Mallorca for you right now? I mean, is it comparable to Brampton?
No.
No?
Not even close. It's nice. It's always, most of the time it's sunny. It rains sometimes during a certain period, but it's for family and kids. It's very nice place to live. It's relaxed, and so after training or after a game, it's to relax in Mallorca, it's nice.
It is weird that the late games, late dinners, you know, everything's later there, right? It seems far more civilized.
Yeah. I mean, they have a siesta. When you take a nap during the day, so I guess the dinner goes, we push the dinner later to like 9, 10 p.m.
I want that siesta. I could do that siesta. That'd be great. Right anyway, wheelhouse. It really could be.
Let's be honest. No matter where you are.
Kyle, the last match you guys played as a friendly, the national team, was against Mexico. And against, I think, one of your former coaches, correct?
Yeah.
And he was jumping up and down on the sideline.
Yeah.
Was he like that when he was your coach too? And second question, that was a bit of a messy game. How do you approach one of those games knowing that the Mexicans were going to come in pretty unadulteredly aggressive? Like they weren't holding back in any of their tackles. How does your team now say, hey, these guys are out for a little bit of they're playing for their lives, their roster lives?
Yeah, that was my coach in Mallorca last year, Javier Aguirre. That's how he is. That's the way he is on the sideline. That's how he is with Mallorca, and a lot of screaming, a lot of the arms, a lot of shouting at the opposing players. And I told the guys on the team, he's going to shout at you. He's going to say things to you. Just block it out and move on, or say something back. He likes that. He likes the confrontation. So
did you have anything going back and forth with him? Did he no, give you a scream?
No, I didn't pay him any mind, actually.
Okay, good.
we knew what the Mexicans were gonna, how they were gonna come in the game, and I think they did that. I think they did that because that's the only way they can beat us. I think they couldn't beat us playing on the with the ball on the pitch. So I think that was the only way they could beat us that game, and I think we were ready for it, and against Mexico or USA, we're always ready to fight each game and go into a battle. Sometimes it won't be pretty, but I think that's what we've changed a lot about our game. It won't be pretty sometimes, but I know the results matter in the international stage, so I think that was a big part.
One more from me. I know we've got some rapid fires coming up very shortly, but last question for me is Jesse Marsh, obviously at the helm now. How is a camp under Jesse Marsh different to a camp under John Herdman? Is it dramatically different?
Yeah, I think it's not dramatically, but it's a little different. Obviously, you have different coaching styles, way of training, and Jesse's training is very intense. The guys are very focused in the training, and then, I think John Herbert had a lot of meetings, and then more than usual. But no, I think Jesse's very relaxed, relaxed guy, and outside of off the pitch, and allows us to be ourselves. But once we get on the pitch, it's business, and we know we have a job to do, and to get. To get better each and every training session and each game, and to build off that.
All right, well, I'm going to take it away.
All right. So we're playing, just so everyone knows, we're playing Get to Know Me with Footy Prime with Kyle Larin. So Kyle, these are 9 quick questions. Don't think about them too much.
Yeah.
Just all about you. Favorite soccer player growing up?
Didier Drogba.
Drogba. Go-to karaoke song?
I don't really.
Oh, come on, you're hurting me. Movie you've watched over and over?
Inception.
Oh, good one. Most memorable goal you've scored?
Against Valladolid.
We just talked about it. Go backwards. If not soccer, what sport would you be playing professionally?
Basketball.
What player do you hate playing against for any reason?
DePaul.
What's
no kidding. You're a prick.
He's good at it.
He is. Yeah.
What's playing in your headphones right now?
Right now, Boss Man D-Lo. I don't know.
We're going to have to I know Boss Man D-Lo.
That's middle age, too. Yeah.
If you can't cheer for Canada, what country do you cheer for in the World Cup?
I don't know if Jamaica would be there, but I'm Jamaica. I'm Jamaican too. So.
And what's your go-to junk food?
Cereal counts as junk food?
Yeah, now it does. Now that we know, is it like a sugar cereal? Is it like one of those ones?
Yeah.
Like Fruit Loops? Do you have? Which one is it?
Honeycomb. I would do honeycomb.
Yes. Oh,
well, I thought you might. I thought you might slip in an Osmos reference there, but that's not. That is not junk food. Kyle, listen, mate, thanks so much for this. I enjoyed this. We all enjoyed this. And listen, good luck on Tuesday and for the rest of the season at Mallorca. We watch you every week, and it's been a great start to the campaign for your club.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So that was Kyle Larin. This is Footy Prime. We are not back on Monday because it's the Thanksgiving weekend. Let's give some thanks. What can we give thanks for? Maybe we won't. We'll be all that.
Good internet.
Yes, I'm thankful for internet. Yes, yeah.
My kids are coming home for dinner on Sunday.
Oh, that's nice. You're going to cook for them?
Maybe.
Okay. You haven't got a turkey in the oven already?
I would love to, but they'd rather go. We usually do that. Go out to like a Chinese restaurant or something like that and eat.
Okay. So, right. Well, I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for Craig's new set, which is looking really, really good. I know we're working on the mic situation, but that'll be up and operational very, very soon. But yeah, that was great. I enjoyed that chat. And Tuesday is the day, Canada against Panama at BMO Field, the first time back home for Jesse Marsh as head coach. So turnout in droves. We expect results, and Panama's a pretty good team. So that should be a good test for Canada ahead of the big ones, Nations League games coming up in November. So our thanks to Kyle Larin. This is Footy Prime. Like, subscribe, and follow, and leave us all the comments you want. Thank you. Keep watching. Cheers. Bye.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Thanks for listening. Keep buying newspaper.
Ooh, remember that?